Our Bible study today takes us once more into chapter 14 of the Gospel according to Matthew. In a previous study, we were considering the persecution by Herod and the passing of John the Baptist. Then that led on to a little section where we considered the problem of the multitude and the provision of the Lord. That took us to verse 21. Our study today will be in the latter part of chapter 14, from verse 22 to the end of the chapter. Now, verses 22 to 33, you have the plight of the disciples and the presence of the Lord. And then the closing verses 34 through 36, we have the plea of the people and the power of the Lord. Now let me read the verses 22 to 33 that set before us the plight of the disciples and the presence of the Lord. Verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. We shall pause there in our reading and seek to learn a lesson or two from that section before we consider the closing verses of the chapter. Here then, I suggest to you, there is set before us the plight of the disciples and the presence of the Lord. Now, Matthew has preceded this with that little section dealing with the problem of the multitude and the provision of the Lord. But we'll have to learn this, that not only do we find a multitude with a problem, but here now the very disciples of the Lord are in trouble. We'll notice the trouble they encountered, and then the terror they expressed, and the triumph they experienced. So we're looking now at the plight of the disciples. Some people have an idea that when one becomes a disciple of the Lord Jesus, that is the end to all your troubles, that everything thereafter will be easy going. My friend, that is a wrong conception. Remember, the path of obedience may not be an easy one, because the winds and the waves of adversity may be against us, and the night may be dark. Now, you must notice this at verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. Now that verse then suggests to us that they had the word of the Lord for what they were doing. They were simply acting in obedience to what the Lord had said. The instructions given by the Lord were being carried out because he asked his disciples to get into the ship. He gives them instructions to go to the other side. So it's obvious they are obeying the commandments or the instructions of the Lord. Now, while they begin to cross the lake, notice where the Lord went. In verse 23, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. So you've got the picture. He has been separated now from his disciples and from the multitude. He is alone. He's on the mountain top and he's praying. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But down there on the sea, there's the vessel, the ship, and the disciples are seeking to cross to the other side. So they are doing the right thing, all right. They are being obedient to the Lord. But at that very time, while he's on the mountaintop praying, and they're rowing and seeking to cross the sea to the other side, then they land themselves in trouble. Verse 24 says, But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. So the storm has arisen on the sea. See, if the Lord says, Let us go to the other side, you can rest assured there will be a safe landing. But that does not necessarily mean there will be an easy crossing. My friend, as you listen to my voice even now, it may be you are wondering why it is that so many things have gone against you. It may be that the waves of adversity are against you. It may mean that the contrary winds are blowing against you. You're unable to make any progress. It seems that you're never going to reach your destination. And you're rather afraid of what's going to happen. In plain words, you're in the midst of a storm. There are troubles all around you. And you're beginning to wonder if the Lord has neglected you. You're wondering if the Lord understands your need. Yes, my friend, he does. Notice where he was. The Lord was on the mountaintop. And being on the mountaintop, engaging in prayer, he was able to look down and he saw exactly the condition of things prevailing on the lake. He knew what his disciples were passing through, but he is on the mountaintop engaged in intercession. May I ask you, my friend, have you ever grasped this truth even now? The Lord Jesus Christ is not with us here in person. He ascended up to the right hand of the throne of the Majesty in the heaven. And while he's there, he is engaged in intercession on our behalf. That's the reason the writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews at the end of chapter 4 says this, Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Yes, he's on the mountaintop, all right, in the presence of the Father, engaged in prayer, in intercession on our behalf. Don't get the idea, my friend, that the Lord has forsaken you. If you're in the midst of trouble, he knows all about it. He's been tempted in all points, such as we are, sin apart. He understands our natures. He understakes our cause. He knows all about your problems. Now then, the trouble they encountered was on the sea while they were making the crossing. You and I in this life are still making the crossing. We haven't reached the journey's end yet. We're still on the sea. There may be storms. There may be winds and waves that will be against us. But we have a mighty Savior who cares for us. Now, I want you to notice not only the trouble they encountered, but the terror they expressed. They were so afraid of the storm that they failed to recognize the Lord and supposed that they were being attacked by some spirit being. I want you to notice this at verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." That is, they were terrified. They got a fright. "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. See, they failed here to recognize the Lord. So taken up with their own troubles, so taken up with the storm, thinking the Lord had forsaken them. And when the Lord was approaching them, they thought it was some other being. They thought it was an enemy, a spirit being that was attacking them. Now then, there was terror, and it struck right at their very hearts. You know, sometimes people get like that. Not only are they going through trouble, but they allow the enemy to upset them. And they get terror-stricken, and they fail to recognize the Lord. In fact, they won't recognize him. Now, that is serious business. You know, when we're in trouble, the best thing we can do is take our troubles to the Lord, recognize him, lay the whole matter before him in intelligent prayer, and ask the Lord for his help. And so they failed here, as it were, to recognize the Lord. And they entered again into that awful sin of supposition. They thought it was a spirit. They supposed that it was something else. It was the Lord. Now in verse 27 it says, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." He came with a message to calm their troubled breasts. You see, he simply could speak a message of peace. "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." It's a good thing when we're able to lay hold upon the good cheers of the Lord. "Be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee," he said to one man. He's saying, "Now be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." A word for their troubled hearts. It brought calmness. It brought peace. It simply settled them down when they heard the word of the Lord. My friend, it's one thing to recognize the person of the Lord. It's an altogether different thing to recognize the presence of the Lord when you can enter his presence and speak to him in prayer. May I suggest it's a step further when we can recognize and receive the word of the Lord and let his word have an effect upon our hearts and minds. And he's saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." It may be you're in the midst of trouble and you think the world is against you. You're wondering what's going to happen next. Well, will you trust the Lord? Will you cast your burden upon him? and leave it there. Hear him say, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid, I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Now at that point, Peter is so stirred up. He's been called Intrepid Peter. Perhaps he was. But Peter was always anxious to get on with something and do the job. Peter answering him said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And the Lord simply answered him with one word. He said, "Come." When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You see, the very things that were causing him the trouble, that was the wind and the waves, now he's able to walk on the waves, and he's making his way to the Savior. Then all of a sudden he got his eye off the Savior, and he got his eye again on the storm, the boisterous wind. He was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." He's a sinking man, but the sinking man was rescued by the arm of power. First of all, they were troubled, you know, troubled because of the storm. But he is a man who's sinking in the storm. He's going down. And remember, he is Peter, the last man you would think who would go under. But you see, Peter got his eye of the Lord. And instead of looking to the Lord, he started to look at the storm. And the winds and the waves were against him. And he began to sink. Now maybe, my friend, that if you're sinking these days, is because you have got your eye of the Lord. May I suggest, you need to get your eye trained again on him, looking off unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Lift your eyes to him, and lift your prayer to him. That's exactly what Peter did here in the midst of his trouble, when he realized he had got his eye off the Lord, and he was sinking down beneath the chilly waves. Then he cries out, "Lord, save me." May I suggest, he hadn't time to say any more. If Peter had commenced here to recite a long prayer, it would have been too late. He would have been under. He couldn't have said any less. If he had said, "Lord, save," that might have meant he meant him to save the others. But he said, "Lord, save me." You see, here was a personal cry to the Lord. Peter realized that it was he himself that was going under. He needed the salvation that came from the Lord. He also recognized that it was the Lord. And he also acknowledges that it was the Lord who was able to save him. All these things are held within the compass of three words: Lord, save me. I wonder, is it possible there's someone listening to my voice even now? And my friend, it may be you've never been saved. You're in trouble. You feel yourself sinking down. You're being overwhelmed with the storms of life. You need to be saved. You don't know which way to turn. If someone was to say to you, "Why don't you pray?" you would be like some others. You'd say, "Well, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray." My friend, listen, you need to be saved. And you know the Lord can save you. And it's you that needs to be saved. Why don't you just take Peter's words? You can't say any more, and you can't say any less. "Lord, save me." And if such a cry, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, was to be uttered by some sinking sinner today, may I suggest, my friend, you'll sink no longer. The Lord is both able, ready, willing to save the sinner that will cry to him for help. "Lord, save me," was the cry of Peter. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. You see, the sinking man was rescued by the arm of power. Then the stormy wind ceased in the presence of the Lord. The ship with the disciples arrived safe at the other side. There was a safe arrival in spite of the stormy crossing. A lot of dear Christians have had and are still having a stormy crossing. My friend, with Christ in the vessel, you can rest assured you'll have a safe arrival. And oh, what an arrival that will be when we arrive at the port of peace and we look back upon the crossing. We'll thank God for His goodness. We'll thank the Lord for all He has done for us. And so there was a safe arrival. There's the plight of the disciples in the midst of the storm, but the presence of the Lord is the answer to all the trouble. But notice now the closing verses of this chapter, verses 34, 35, 36. Verse 34, and when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. I want you to take note of the concern they displayed. These people were concerned for one another, and they brought the needy ones to the Lord for His blessing. May I suggest today that if we recognized that the Lord was able to help the needy ones, perhaps our friends and neighbors, is it possible we could be helping to bring them to the Lord? See, I like these words, and they brought unto Him all that were diseased. There's a lot of poor sinners today whose lives have been broken. There are a lot of homes today that have been broken. There are a lot of people in the depths of fear that have been distraught with the affairs of life. Oh, my friend, you need the Savior. And when He came over and landed in their country, they remembered what He had done when He was there before. See, the man that He had cured there perhaps had borne His testimony, and they were waiting on the Lord to come again. And so when they had knowledge of Him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto Him all that were diseased. They were concerned. And then there was the contact that they sought. They besought Him that they might only touch the hem of His garment. They desired some identification with the Lord, believing He could help. Here I suggest was an act of faith. They realized this if only they could have some contact with the Savior. To them it was a material contact, a touch. But, my friend, today you can't do that in a material way. You can do this in a spiritual way. Yes, you can still have contact with the Savior. The Spirit of God is in this world, convicting men of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And the message of the gospel is preached to men and women. And there's never a sinner so far from God, but the Savior can bring him home. He has a salvation for you, my friend, if only you would reach out by faith and touch Him. Then there was the comfort that they received, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. The power of Christ was manifested, and they were made perfectly whole. Here is a picture, of course, of the coming kingdom when the King shall be present. He's not present with us today. He's in the glory today. But He's still able to save men and women. And He'll save you, my friend, if like these people, you will seek the Lord. You may not know how to do it in your own simple way. Perhaps like Peter, you can say, Lord, save me. Or like these people that were brought to Him, if only they could touch the Savior, they would be made perfectly whole. Oh, you need the salvation of God. You need to be saved, my friend. And even if you are a Christian, remember, you need the Lord in a daily manner. You need Him. Bring your burdens to Him and leave them there.